Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show on this Monday after the NFL draft has gone into the books. Going to be talking about some of the best and worst things in the NFL draft coming up here, but a chance for us to actually sit down and talk a little bit with you and I about some of what happened after what we saw with Calvin Ridley. By the way, on our poll that everybody wants to say is too cheesy, there is a note from one of our Twitter followers who says that he totally missed the most pressing needs in any effective way. And with only one defensive tackle being Sanat, that they missed the pressing needs. I answered him by saying, one of the pressing needs that many fans, I guess they missed us talking about this. The Falcons ended up last in the NFL in average starting field position. And that was because the return game with Andre Roberts wasn't any good and the coverage game was really bad. And they went out and got Justin Bethel in free agency, the number one kick cover guy available in free agency, and Russell Gage, a wide receiver out of LSU, who, by the book, says maybe one of the best coverage guys in college football to help that unit. So that's a need.
Yeah, and I think that they looked at it like this. Offensively, you could have some more weapons. You can never have too many weapons on that side of the ball. But they're trying to win that special teams game. And that's important. That's just as important as any other phase of football. And I think that's what Coach Quinn emphasized on. As far as the D-tackle spot is concerned, I would have liked him to get another guy. They're probably going to bring some guys in as camp bodies to see how it pans out. But one thing that stuck out to me when I was reading the story, I think I got this story off the Falcoholic. Shout out to Falcoholic. But it's about how they felt that the D-tackles were so closely grouped together that they felt that it wasn't no big need to spend a crazy amount of money at that position because, like all of those guys, the drop-off wasn't that tremendous. And that was one of the reasons why they took Calvin Ridley. There was a story that said that they even thought about at one point that they might have to trade up to get Calvin Ridley. And they were prepared to do that, but it didn't happen that way. Mm-hmm. And he failed to them. So that just tells me this. Being in that war room and looking at all the grades that they had for these D-tackles, that they had some listed higher than the others. And that's why they felt that, as far as that position was concerned, they really didn't have to go get a couple of guys. They got the one guy that they wanted, and it's going to work out for them.
All right, let's talk about some of the other guys they got. Let's begin in round two. They go out and get a cover corner out of Colorado named Isaiah Oliver. Now, he wasn't maybe on a lot of radars, but, boy, to listen to these guys talk about Oliver, whew, big, long, athletic, how they love he's a ball hawker. They loved a lot of things about this guy who can be an instant starter in your secondary in a lot of ways. And here's what Isaiah Oliver, cornerback Colorado, had to say.
I mean, you're going to get a guy that's ready to work and a guy that's ready to ball and make plays on the field to help the team win. So, I mean, just when you see me out there, just expect me to get my hands on the ball any way possible and start making plays right away.
Yeah, and again, this is I encourage you as fans before, and you can vote in our poll. We want you to vote in the poll. But also, if you got a few minutes today, when you go on to the internet, don't just go and play poker or what have you. Go and actually search these guys and watch them on film because you'll see certain things when you watch the YouTube highlights. Now, again, I always like to caution people when you're talking about highlights. You're just talking about just that, highlights. It's the best of. But when you look at Isaiah Oliver, what Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff say about his athletic ability and his length, pretty apparent. He is to the ball, a lot.
Yeah, and he has a lot of speed, John. I was just sitting there looking at some of his highlights. He has deceptive speed. He has some closing speed on him, and I think that's what they wanted. They wanted some guys out there where, with the D-line that you have, the more corners that you can play matchups with and can lock people up with, the better off your team is. Because that's the one position where you see you can have a good pass rush, but if you got some holes in your secondary and guys can't cover, it can leave you exposed to a lot of big plays. And that was part. That was some of the issues that the Falcons had last year at that slot position. They got kind of killed a little bit. So now you got another guy out there on the field. You got some guys in the secondary that can cover. They're going to give your D tackles and your defensive ends a chance to get home quicker.
By going this high, round two, is it fair, Bo, you think that maybe Brian Poole is being sent a message here? I mean, because it sounds like you draft a guy like Isaiah Oliver, looking at this guy on film, looking at his body of work, and I don't think you drafted him to be a backup.
No, I don't think you drafted the fourth best corner in the draft in the second round there to be a backup. Yeah, I mean, I think Brian Poole's been on notice. I think Brian Poole was on notice the day he came into the league that he needs to compete and he needs to get better, and he continues to get better. He had moments last year where he was good and then moments where he struggled. I love the move because, people were saying they aren't addressing needs. Well, there was the nickel cornerback was somewhat of a need. They had some bad issues. They had some issues there last year where there was some big mistakes, like in the Carolina game where a guy's running free and catches a touchdown, let Carolina back in the game for a moment.
Right. So, and this is a guy you could plug in. It'll be interesting to see how they rotate you. Will they put Alford at the nickel? Will they put Oliver at the nickel? He's going to be an interesting player to watch.
I tell you, the thing that I like about Coach Quinn's defense is when you look at it, is that you have to be a guy that can play multiple positions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that when I couldn't fathom if I played NFL with this in this day and age, because I was always the right defensive end. You know, Coach Quinn does not mind moving guys around, guys sliding to play that D tackle spot and everything of that nature. You need to know exactly what's going on in this defense. But I think that's what makes them so good, is that they're so versatile. And you very rarely catch them in a defense that they're not prepared in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because everybody knows what to do. Everybody's on the same page. You don't have too many people out there making too many MEs, mental errors. So that's what makes this defense so potent.
Well, one of the things that surprised me a little bit was that the Falcons drafted a running back. I guess I just wasn't thinking about that in terms of their needs, but they went running back with Ito Smith out of Southern Mississippi, and this is what Ito had to say.
I'm so excited, man. I'm blessed, man. Only 256 guys get picked, man. I'm just happy to be one of those guys. Coach Quinn, they gave me a chance, man. I'm ready to get to work. What I bring to the Falcons is just a hard worker, you know, just a guy who's going to give every play. They're going to get it the best. Just give it their all.
Yeah, give it their all. Now, if you go to YouTube and watch Ito Smith, if you haven't seen him, nearly 50-0 touchdowns at his time at Southern Miss. He's a smaller back. He's 5'9". But, boy, you watch these, and his touchdowns, they're not from 3 yards or 5 yards. It's 58 yards. It's 62 yards and 70 and then 60 and then 50 and 40. He is breaking large chunks of yardage. And one of the things that's true in watching him now, granted, we're talking about playing at Conference USA level in college football, but still, he's getting steps and not getting touched all the way down. He game breaker.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me just his body type, kind of like a Darren Sproles type of guy. You know, and if you have – you could just envision him being back there, Ito back there with Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman, you know, and just being able to spread that defense out a little bit, spread them out a little thin. You can go like four wide receivers and put him in the slot position. Well, three wide receivers and put him in the slot, guy that can catch out of the backfield. There's going to be a lot of versatility in his offense. That's why you get a young running back like that, a guy that can beat you in between the tackles and can get out there in the slot and make some things happen.
Yeah, seeing how many catches he had in college was really what stood out to me. And you watch his highlights, and you're right.
Good hands.
They're all just 50, 60-yard runs where he just runs away from people with that 4.45 speed. So he's an exciting guy. And, you know, we don't have Tron Ward anymore. They didn't tender him in the offseason, so this could be your third running back.
Dan Graziano of ESPN tweets this out about Ito Smith. He says, Falcons took Ito Smith. Ito is not his real name. It's his nickname, because when the baby was brought back from the hospital, his family thought that he looked like Judge Lance Ito. And then Graziano says, in related news, the dudes getting drafted were babies during the OJ trial. I went, oh, yeah, okay. Just make you feel old. You look like Judge Lance Ito. So that's how he got his name. And true story, by the way. You're wondering now. It's like, how did Deion Jones get his name? He's named after Deion Sanders. How did Keanu Neal get his name? He's named after Keanu Reeves of The Matrix. By the way, true stories. Don't ask me about Tevin. Don't know how Tevin got his name. I should ask him someday. So the other big news, of course, is the big guy in the middle. Deidrin Sanat out of South Florida. And Deidrin is a big old boy. He's 315 pounds, and he's got some get-up to him, too. Got good hands. And this is what Deidrin Sanat said about becoming a Falcon.
You're getting a guy who's willing to work. You're getting a guy who's willing to do anything, and you know what I mean, who's eager to learn, who's eager to just grasp anything from and soak in knowledge from anybody.
Now, before we get into your analysis of what you see on film with Deidrin Sanat, I do want to say that there's another part of this story. Both of his parents passed, and as young as he is, his mom passed when he was 13, and his dad passed just before the draft. So he's gone through some real hard times, Deidrin Sanat, and still upbeat, and that's one of the things they said they really appreciated about him was his attitude, and he's going to fit into the brotherhood just fine.
Yeah, haven't really seen that much about him, haven't really seen that much tape on him, but the tape that I did see on him, he looks a little raw. It looks like at the point of attack that he's going to have to definitely work on that because, just looking at the little bit of tape that I have seen on him, he kind of looks like he sits there and he takes a blow sometimes instead of delivering the pop. So that's something that he's definitely going to have to work on at this level because if you do that, man, you're going to get drove off the ball. If you're out there absorbing all those blows, you're going to get blown off the ball.
Well, you know, maybe the good thing is that he is coachable and maybe they saw that in his attitude and you know, just if he's got a little diamond in the rough in him, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing because that means he hasn't upsided. You know, some guys, they come out, and what you get when you come out of College U, that's it. That's all you're ever going to get. That's the level. They have peaked. Maybe this guy is just not even close.
I mean, I've seen
it
a little bit. He on some passing downs, I think I see what Coach Quinn is seeing in him. He got some ability to get up the field. But he just needs, at this level, I think that he'll do himself a service with his size to not sit on the line of scrimmage and take that initial pop.
Well, we're talking about the draft with the Falcons. You can vote in our Vision Computer poll about what you thought about the Falcons draft and how you view the results of the draft. Our Vision Computer poll right now at 929 The Game on our Twitter. You can say, touchdown, great class. First down, solid group. First down, solid group. Punt, show me on the field. Or fumble, it could be better. See, I told you, even with sound effects, it's even cornier, isn't it?
It's so cheesy, John. And
super
cheesy. I love it so much. It almost needs some wine because it's that cheesy.
I went to the Kroger. There's a Super Kroger in Cartersville. If you haven't been, I mean, it's like the size of a Walmart, okay, this thing. And it's got like a wine bar. It's at Kroger. It's got a wine bar, Hugh, and it's got an olive bar. And it's got a cheese bar. And I got some Irish white cheddar, super duper sharp. Man, that stuff is good. That's good with wine. And the reason I say that is because it's my cheese of the day. I should have a thing, John's cheese of the day.
You might as well, because you're talking about cheeses that none of us know anything about. So you might as well have a cheese of the day and educate us on the balling-ass cheese that you get when you go out on the weekend.
From the Kroger.
Yeah. I don't sleep on Kroger now.
Not that exactly high-end if you're buying it at the Kroger.
Kroger's is winning.
NFL.com says the class U is a B+. Sporting News says B+. SB Nation said B. ESPN said B. Monday Morning Quarterback said C+. They were the only ones below a B. USA Today graded the class an A. Monday Morning Quarterback C+ says that Quinn employs a litany of defensive line rotations. The Falcons may regret not finding more forces inside. And that is, I think, the biggest concern that a lot of people have.
Yeah, not having that presence in the middle. Until you show me they can't do it, I'm going to go ahead and roll with Coach Quinn and say that, you know, they did what was best for their football team. They got better. There's no question about that. Now, as a former defensive lineman, would I have liked for them to get at least one more D-tackle? Of course I would. But there are going to be some guys I'm pretty sure they're going to bite into camp, and there might be somebody that emerges from this group that they already have on the squad that's going to come in and make some noise. Deidrin Sanat might be a guy that comes in, and just because you watch him on film, learning with Coach Young and Coach Quinn out there, he'll probably be a better player than he was in college. I mean, until it happens, I'm going to give Coach Quinn and Coach Young the benefit of the doubt as far as coaching D linemen, especially Coach Young, because I played against him. I've seen what he's taught these young linemen this year and how they've improved. And now that you have somewhat of a diamond in the rough, I think he's going to take it upon himself to come out there and try to teach him as much as he possibly can and get him ready to go.
And you still have other options that are veteran options. Let's not forget, Derek Shelby is still on this team. Jack Crawford is still on this team, and Jack Crawford is healthy. And they could slide Jack Crawford as a switch guy, end and tackle, and they could bring Jack Crawford in. And by the way, these are package guys. Well, you're not going to ask Deidre Sinnott to come in here and play, you know, four downs every time. I mean, that's not what he's going to be. He's going to be a two-down guy, and with his size, he'll probably be a first and second down guy. For the most part, I would think he'd be a run guy.
Yeah, and I think just from looking at him, he sits low. The biggest thing that I would say that he has to get better at, use his hands, punch. But he got we used to call it big lower waist, has a big lower waist. Looks like he anchors well on the line of scrimmage. So there's something definitely there to work with. There's definitely something there to work with.
USA Today's A, the grade says this, looks like another masterful job by GM Thomas Dimitroff. USA Today, if they were voting in our poll, would have voted touchdown. They went on to say he didn't overthink it when wide receiver Calvin Ridley was sitting there at 26 or when cornerback Isaiah Oliver was there at 58. In other words, what he did, Thomas Dimitroff said, they stayed true to their board view. Who's the best player on the board? They would have traded up for Ridley, right? I mean, they said Ridley was a top 15 guy. They said that Oliver, and by the way, this is what the Falcons, a lot of people said, and if you read some of the things, that Isaiah Oliver was slotted in about where the Falcons were going to pick in the first round. This harkens back in a way, in about 25-26, to what happened to them with the Des Trufant draft. The Falcons were ready to draft Robert Alford in the first round, and Des Trufant fell to them, and they went, okay, we're taking Des Trufant. And when they got back around, there was Rocky Alford, so then they grabbed Rocky Alford. So they ended up not only getting Rocky Alford, but they got Des Trufant on top of it. That sounds like something they would have done here. If Ridley had gone, they could have gone to a guy like Isaiah Oliver first. They probably wouldn't have, but they could have. In other words, they had him valued as a first-round pick. So in that regard, maybe it is an A. If you got two guys that you think are both first-rounders and you were drafting, you know, if you drafted guys that were, you know, at least slotted above where they took them.
Yeah, I think they did well. I think they did extremely well in this draft. Like, again, wish they would have got another D-tackle, but got to leave it to Coach Quinn on this one. He knows this team much better than I do.
Some of the other news in the NFL draft. The best of the rest of the NFL draft, as we kind of put a little capsule on what took place over the weekend, over those 3 days in Dallas.
92.9 The Game. Get your sports fix anywhere. On demand. Beyond live streaming.
It's on demand.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
What does that mean?
And if you don't know how to use those,
I'll tell you what. I'll switch you to communications.
Ask your kids. The Game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, what a weekend it was again for the National Football League. And I know that some people, as we get into it, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hill. We're going to get into the rest of the draft here. Are going to go through serious withdrawal here because they're already talking about, that was a theme yesterday on Twitter. Uh-oh, what do we do now?
What do you mean?
NFL withdrawal. It's like, oh, what do we talk about now? We got 3 months.
We got OTAs next week, don't we?
Yeah, that's what I told them.
Yeah, we got OTAs. Calm down, everybody. This is when it gets good because now we're not speculating on who's going where. We know that. And now we go to OTAs and see how they fit. And, you know, we get to see them running around in shorts.
The rest of the NFL draft. Let's talk about some of the other highlights of the draft. I mean, you know what happened at number one with Baker Mayfield, la-di-da-di-da. We talked about the first round on Friday. Let's talk about the rest of the draft. And a lot of people were very happy when this pick happened.
With the 141st pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Shaquem Griffin. Linebacker, Central Florida. Yeah!
Yeah, Shaquem Griffin goes to Seattle to join his brother who's on the Seahawks, and this is what Shaquem had to say.
This is going to bring back everything we ever wanted. I mean, it's everything we prayed for. This is everything we worked for. This is everything we stayed true to who we are. And now that I got an opportunity to be back with him, it's only going to mean greatness.
Good
are
for
they
him.
Twins? This is the thing that I was thinking about. I'm like, okay, how did your brother get drafted before? Did Shaquem must have got held back in school or something. I mean, I didn't understand that because if they're twins, they should have got drafted at the same time. That was the first thing that I thought of when I saw the draft. I was kind of wondering what happened. Why did he get held back? But good job, good for him. Good that he gets to go somewhere where he's with his brother, so there's some level of comfort there. But honestly, I'm thinking it's gonna be tough for him. I want to see how he's gonna adapt to playing at this level because we all know that offensive linemen, when they get their hands on you, they tend to hold a little bit. And I wonder how he's going to adapt the way that he played in college to this pro level, because it's going to be a lot different. It's going to be a lot different.
I guess we probably should say, for the benefit of those in the audience that don't know, is that Shaquem Griffin does not have a left hand. That was what made him, when he was 4 years old, he basically tried to cut his hand off. He had a condition that made the pain in his hand so unbearable, he took a kitchen knife and tried to cut his hand off, and did such a good job of trying to cut it off, he had to have it amputated.
And I was just told, shout out to Bo, that his brother left for the draft a year early. So that's what that was. I was wondering, because I'm like, wait a minute, they're twins. So brother left early.
Mm-hmm.
So got it. That makes sense.
Yeah, and so Shaquille and Shaquem Griffin, the brothers are on the Seahawks, and good for Shaquem Griffin. And I think everybody's kind of rooting for him to make this roster and to have an impact. And, you know, if Seattle has, you know, it's not like college. I mean, Seattle has the luxury of carrying, you know, somebody just to be a special teams kind of guy. But I don't know that they do, unfortunately, because they're, frankly, you look on paper, and I could make an argument that Seattle is going to be fighting to stay out of the cellar of that division now. I think they're kind
of
rolling
over. Their roster's changing.
Yeah.
The Legion of Boom is a lot older. A lot of the guys are not there. And they've had some injuries. They've lost some pieces. They're going to be a different football team this year. No question about it.
Yeah, now Shaquem seems to think the Legion of Boom is alive, and maybe for him, maybe it is.
You know, it's not just us. And we got a whole new group, and it's going to be something special. But the Legion of Boom is still alive, and we can't wait to shock the world.
And that was Shaquem, actually. That was the brother. He shocked the world. They're going to have to, because that division has – the L.A. Rams on paper are loaded. And we saw what the San Francisco 49ers did when they finally got a quarterback, and a pretty good one, in Jimmy Garoppolo. And Arizona's got some talent now. We'll find that out when Arizona comes in here late in the year. That could be a big game. That's real late in the season in December when Arizona comes to Atlanta. So we'll see about the Seahawks this year in that NFC West. A couple other notes here from the draft. Round five gave us a Maurice Hurst win in round five. He dropped all the way to round five.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. I think that some of that had to do with that heart condition that a lot of people were kind of a lot concerned about. They were a lot concerned about that. As a matter of fact, there was an opportunity for the Falcons to pick him, and he passed on him. So that goes to show you how they felt about him at that pick. So. Yeah, he was a guy that was projected to be a number one draft pick, number one going in the first round. Didn't happen that way. So some team got a really good player, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be stoked and fired up to try to prove to everybody that he should have been a number one pick.
Yeah, the Raiders could score big on this. I mean, he goes all the way to the fifth round, and again, first round talent in the fifth round. And apparently, all I can think is, with all these teams passing on him, when his heart condition, they were all able to see – the report from the combine, Maurice Hurst was not allowed to participate in the combine, and all the team doctors were able to see what they did, and you know, I guess they must see it, and they have strong concerns about his health, and you know, not just you know, in terms of what it means to the football team, but you worry, Hugh, if he's got this kind of a health issue, what it means to him.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the Raiders did their due diligence, but you got to remember also, in the NFL, it's about getting more bang for your buck, and that's why some teams chose to do what they do as far as where they pick guys at or they see the value at in certain draft picks. And that's what it basically came down to. You look at him and what he brought to the table, even though he was a number one, he was a first-round talent, a lot of teams felt that heart condition was serious enough that they didn't want to give him that kind of money. I think when you picked him, it's not that big of a risk if it doesn't work out. And I think that's why he went as late as he did, because for the teams, it's not that big of a risk to take him in the fifth.
When you got that happen in the fifth round as well, so Griffin and Maurice Hurst. And then the very last pick, now I'm a little disappointed by this. I don't know how you feel. I'm not going to be walking around in misery about it, but I was looking forward to the Falcons having Mr. Irrelevant, and I thought that'd be fun. First time ever the Falcons would have had Mr. Irrelevant, and they up and traded the pick. They packaged that pick and moved up to get Russell Gage, which is fine. So the Falcons did not end up with Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant got traded a couple of times. Washington Redskins ended up with the last pick, and they picked SMU wide receiver Trey Quinn. He is Mr. Irrelevant. And the note on Trey Quinn is that had a pretty good year at SMU, was at LSU, transferred to SMU, put up some nice numbers as wide receiver. But the note on Trey Quinn is that his claim to fame so far is he pitched a no-hitter in the 2008 Little League World Series. So there you go.
Good for him.
So at the Washington Redskins baseball game.
Two-sport young man. Way to go, young man. That's pretty impressive.
That is actually pretty impressive. So the draft is in the books, and now we look back.
I'm glad it's over.
I'm glad it's over, too. 13 quarterbacks were taken. 4 punters were drafted in this draft. 1 long snapper, but 4 punters were drafted in the draft. And, you know, you don't normally see that many, couple of place kickers, but we have 4 punters taken, including one team that traded up to get the punter out of Texas, Michael Dixon. So, I mean, punters, look, hey, listen, you can't undervalue what it means at field position. And for a long time, people did. This is why, again, I go back to when you say the Falcons didn't address their needs, which part of needs on special teams did we not have? We had Devin Hester. We had Eric Weems. We had Andre Roberts. You haven't had a return guy. And now you've got 2 guys who are both considered to be potential return guys in Ito Smith and Russell Gage.
Yeah, they want to play the field position game a little bit, John. That's what it looked like to me. Looks like they want to go out there and you know, put their offense in the best possible position that it could be in and take a lot of pressure off of that defense. There was a lot of times last year, especially in the playoffs, where defense had to step up and stymie a few teams, and they were able to do that. Now you're looking at it like, you know, you got some more offensive weapons out there, that this offense is going to get back to what it was when Coach Shanahan was here the Super Bowl year. And that defense is going to be much better. The Falcons have to like the position at the end right now. They feel that they're real competitive, and they feel like they filled a lot of holes. They filled some holes that they needed on their squad.
6 players from UGA get drafted. Roquan Smith, Isaiah Wynn, Sonny Michel in the first round, as we talked about on Friday. Nick Chubb, round 2 to Cleveland. Lorenzo Carter went to the Giants in round 3, and Javon Wims went in round 7 to Chicago Bears. This means, Hugh, that, and we'll start talking about some of this stuff with undrafted free agents. Trenton Thompson, David Bellamy, Dominic Sanders, all not drafted. Trenton Thompson out there and available. David Bellamy out there and available. Dominic Sanders, John Atkins, not drafted. So a lot of fairly big name Georgia players not drafted.
Yeah, and they'll probably get an invite to camp, you know, and they'll still get another chance. And, you know, with this AA, what is it? All-American League that's coming up, they might even get an opportunity to play in that a little bit.
12th year in a row that the SEC has had the most picks in the draft. They had a 53 total picks, 46 by the ACC, 32 from the Big Ten, 53 total. Alabama led all teams again, Hugh, with 12. Alabama had 12 players taken. The entire Big 12, had 20 players taken. Alabama had 12 by themselves. The entire Big 12 had 20.
Man. That's a lot of players. It's a lot of players from one conference. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, 53 from the SEC. Well, the SEC is a breeding ground. And then, now, take this with a grain of salt. When you say the SEC had 53 and the ACC had 46 and the Big Ten had 32, what happens sometimes is that, you know, you'll have a conference that's just a little younger. You know, their stars are younger. They're going to be the sophomores and the juniors who want to go back and play again. And the ACC, in the case of the ACC, look at the entire defensive line of Clemson, which would have been drafted, if not maybe in the first round or two, the entire draft line, they didn't go out. So that happens. But 12 years in a row for the SEC, that's a dominant run.
Yeah, they've had the most for the last 2 years, haven't they, Joe John? The SEC has been right up there with the top teams that have the most draft picks in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's loaded through the league. Well, wait till you hear this. The draft wasn't without a moment that you can't believe somebody's going to do. We'll do this. Yeah, we've even got the audio. And it's next. What radio hosts want to do. On Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Now hear this. Hey, did you hear this?
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. There are times where we as sports radio show hosts will say things that we regret. Welcome to our lives on a daily basis. My life on a daily basis, anyway. Or we say things like we will eat certain things like crickets for money. When is that going to happen, by the way?
I did have the pineapple pizza, which still fruit does not belong on a pizza. It was not good.
I'm more interested in the crickets.
I have a notification from the company that I actually got the crickets from. They are actually in transit. So We'll find out sometime this week.
I did hit the $1,000
goal.
Hey.
But we can try and get it to 2,000.
Yeah, well, we want the crickets first. But you're eating crickets is nothing compared to what WKRN host Aaron Goldhammer is going to have to do, because Aaron Goldhammer went on radio in Cleveland and said he didn't want Baker Mayfield as the quarterback, and he kept stressing it all the way up to the draft. Don't draft Baker Mayfield. And by the way, the Browns won't do it. They're not that stupid. They're going to get Sam Darnold. They're not going to draft Baker Mayfield. And then he said that if they drafted Baker Mayfield, he would do something. He would eat something. And so, lo and behold, they're doing their draft coverage, and Baker Mayfield gets selected, and Aaron Goldhammer is suddenly on a different kind of clock.
Aaron eats some poop. Denver took Bradley Chubb, by the way.
I have an announcement to make. I will eat the poop live on the air.
Yes. We're going to do it next week. I think there were some people who thought you would do it here today.
Oh, man. Don't ever say anything you can't back up there, Aaron Goldhammer. Man of mercy. Now, supposedly he said he was going to eat horse poop, but I mean, yeah. No.
Make another bet. Be smarter with what you're going to eat.
Obviously. This is my thought process. You have to done something similar to what you said you're gonna do to just throw it out there like that. You got to be comfortable in the best that you make, knowing that they probably can come to fruition. So, I mean, you know, he probably has partaken in the horse poop eating at some point in his life. And not only that, how much does he have to actually eat? I don't want to see that, but. I mean, just thinking about it, my mouth is just turning.
Well, just think, Eagles fans do it just to celebrate.
Oh, that's right, Rob.
You know, but
I heard it. I was going, where did we hear about somebody eating horse poop recently?
I would
that's
venture to say,
off the ground.
Yeah, I would venture to say though that there had to be some alcohol involved.
Yeah, right.
For you to even fix your lips to put poo in it. Hey, good luck. Good luck with that. There's all types of stuff that can go wrong with you eating horse poop. I mean, the DNA's gonna have like. Whatever the horse ate in it, good job with that.
You know, and I don't really, this whole thing about the late great Craig Sager, he was, you know, obviously was a friend of mine, and Craig collected interesting things. He was a collector, but he collected interesting things, and I mentioned this before. One of the things he had was a pile of poop from Secretariat, because he followed Secretariat as it was going to the gate I think it was at the Preakness, and when Secretariat pooped before the race, he took his program and slid it in under the, and then he shellacked it or something, and he had it on display in his house. And there's no way to prove that this guy, because it could be anything, but knowing Craig, that absolutely was the case, you know? And so, but I don't understand this, you know, no thanks. You know, be careful what you say when you make a bet. I mean, my biggest problem with making bets is I make a bet and then I forget what the bet is. And I forget. And people say, you don't pay your bets. I go, well, I just forgot the bet.
Well, you shouldn't bet if you forget them.
I can't remember the bets. People remind me, I owe Daryl Sprite. I owe Bo Waffle House. I think I made a bet with Bo that I never collected on that I won, didn't I? Well, I don't even remember that now that you mentioned it. What did I win?
We made some kind of bet about, I thought about Dalvin Cook and...
No, it was about Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, but I don't... One of us said that you... I think you said McCaffrey would have a better rookie season, and I said Fournette. And I'm not really sure actually who actually won that bet now that I think about it, because they both had pretty good seasons, but neither one was much better than the other.
Yeah, right. And besides, that's fine. I don't remember. It's not that big a deal. But yeah, this guy's going to have to apparently do this Aaron Goldhammer. You know, there are ways to get noticed and be go viral on the internet. That's not one of them that I think I want to do.
Yeah, but some people are going to follow him, and they're going to watch that just to see the train wreck and see how many scoops of poo does he really have to eat.
Ugh. I mean, the whole thing is just nasty, you know? No thanks. I think I'll pass.
Even a portion is nasty.
Yeah.
Like, even one bite is
nasty. Yeah, even a teaspoon.
Of all the stuff that you say you can eat, poo would not be one of the first things. That's not on my top 10 list.
No.
Nah. I'm not eating poo.
Nope.
I couldn't even watch it.
Yeah, I couldn't even. I could write it. I don't even want to watch it. I have a hard time talking about it. But anyway, that's what WKRN host, his name is, and we'll get followers, I guess, Aaron Goldhammer, if you want to follow him, if that's your thing. But the Browns had an interesting draft, just by and large. I thought they had an interesting draft. You know, the one thing I kept going back to over the weekend, one of the discussions was about some Browns fans who were mad, Hugh, that they got Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward. And somebody made a pretty good point. If I have Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward, and I wanted to trade those two straight up to you right now for Sam Darnold and Saquon Barkley, would you make that trade? And the answer is hell no. Well, that's the point then. And that's that. You know what? They should have taken Saquon Barkley 1 and Sam Darnold 4, because as a duo, that's better than Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward. Now, it may turn out that Baker Mayfield is a great quarterback, and Denzel Ward is a 5-time All-Pro defensive back, and, you know, who knows? I mean, so you can't know until it all plays out.
Yeah, but yeah, give a shout out to my man John Chuckery though, because he kind of called it like this. He's talking about the needs that they needed for their team, and they got it. And Baker Mayfield, hopefully it works out for them. But for a lot of people, there are shades of Johnny Manziel. I've even seen some collages with him and Johnny Manziel superimposed over him, saying that they're basically the same person. So hopefully it works out for Cleveland, man, because if it doesn't, it's going to set their franchise back even further than it's already set back.
Right, you know, and all they have to do is win a game, though. If they win one, who do they open with? Anybody know who the Browns begin the season with? They play the Falcons in week 10, second Sunday in November in Cleveland. The Falcons are in Cleveland on November the 11th against the Cleveland Browns.
They have the Steelers at home.
Oh, that's a loss. There's a loss, right? There's an L right out the gate. What?
You don't know that. Look, we've seen teams that win three games open up the season 1-0 against better teams, the teams that go on to go 13-3. John, are you all right, John? I bet you that you have to eat poop.
No, I'm not going to do that.
John, don't do that.
No, I'm not going to make that bet. Nah,
or crickets.
Yeah.
Well, split the bag with Wendy.
Yeah. But that's not the way I can. I'm not going to hold the crickets till November.
I'll order some more.
Oh, you know, she's doing it for a good cause. I'm doing it because Bo's goading me. There's a difference in that.
What is one of the things that you used to eat on Fear Factor? Like a cow's tongue or something. You got to eat a cow's tongue, John.
Don't eat that stuff on Fear Factor? That's nasty.
Or chicken feet.
They've eaten a lot worse than that. That is actually being generous.
No thanks. All right, let's talk about the weekend here. Our poll is up right now, our Vision Computer poll. About what you grade the Falcons draft as. Is it a touchdown, a first down, a punt, or a fumble? And right now, everybody pretty much saying first down, that it was a pretty good draft. Braves had a good weekend. Atlanta United had a good weekend. And we'll bring you up to speed on the hot teams in our town next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.